Hallelujah. It felt like normalcy all over America. I hope you had a fantastic Mother's Day weekend. We certainly did in my house, and man, there were a lot of big sporting events going on, whether it was the Braves and their big series against the Phillies as they opened up their stadium. Over 70,000, the most to ever watch a boxing match, watching Canelo Alvarez down in Jerry's World. Todd Furman will hang out with us. Mike Coppinger will. Barrett Salee. Rory gets a win in golf and more. It felt like America was back open finally in the world of sports. We'll discuss it for you. It'll be Outkick. Usually 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern live, but you get the podcast at your leisure, and it begins now.
Outkick the coverage with Clay Travis live every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for Outkick the coverage at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every morning on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
I hope you and the mothers in your lives had fantastic Mother's Days, whether it's your grandma, whether it's your mom, whether it's your wife, whether it was your mom, any relation to you, someone probably of a significant nature in your life, mother-in-laws, whoever it might be. I hope all of you had fantastic Sundays. Weather a little bit wacky. Where I was, we've had a lot of rescheduled Little League games, and they had to put games on Mother's Day, but then those games got rained out. We did a pretty, what I would say is a pretty typical Mother's Day. Had a Mother's Day brunch. My mother-in-law was here over the weekend, had a good time visiting with them. I felt like it's kind of good nap season when the rains come down quite a bit. It's rare that I just like dial out. But on both Saturday and Sunday, I was watching sports and I fell asleep watching sports in typical dad fashion out there. And I hope all of you are starting back off your Monday morning here with some fun with us. But I got to say, it felt very much like to me, sports were essentially 100% back to normal this weekend in the way that I was watching. And let me explain what I was watching. I watched a lot of the Phillies-Braves series. I don't know how many of you out there watched this series, but the first game of the series was not particularly entertaining unless you're a Phillies fan. They got up 6 runs, I think, in the first inning, blew out the Braves. Saturday night, game went into extra innings. Braves with a walk-off, 4 runs in the bottom of the inning. The Sunday game was fantastic as well, and there was 100% crowds present. I know the Texas Rangers now for over a month have had 100% crowd capacity, but the Braves became the second team, and I think a lot of you out there probably because the game Saturday night was on FS1 nationwide, and the game on Sunday night was on ESPN. So I think a lot of you out there, depending on what parts of the country you live in, if you're a baseball fan at all, or you were just looking for sports to watch on Saturday and Sunday night, and you found yourself on FS1 or on ESPN, it looked pretty remarkably fabulous. If you looked into the crowd, foul balls, everything else, after all the time where you had the cardboard cutouts and all the kind of kooky things that were going on in the crowd, I got to tell you, it just looked phenomenal. So props to the Braves and the Phillies for putting on a really, really entertaining weekend series. And for the Braves getting back to 100% capacity, joining the Texas Rangers, I think this is going to be undertaken in very short order by a huge number of professional sports franchises out there, because in conjunction with that fabulous Brave series against the Phillies with 100% crowds present, and by the way, I don't know if you noticed this, a lot of people from Philadelphia, it felt like, came down. I know the Phillies have Philly has a lot of people who've moved out of the city and still support the teams. There are always a good number of fans that are Philly fans that are there present in Atlanta. But I feel like there are a lot of people on the East Coast who are fed up with the restrictions on sports that said, you know what, to heck with it. We'll hop in a car. We'll hop on a flight. We'll go down to Atlanta for a long weekend, and we'll watch our favorite team, if we're the Phillies, the Braves, to be able to play. Looked like almost every seat was sold out in that entire stadium. So I got to say, props to the Braves for starting it and also for the Phillies that follow them. And I think the shift from a tiny percentage of fans present to full outdoor stadiums is going to happen really, really fast. I don't know how it hasn't happened in the state of Florida. I think with the Astros in Houston, it's going to happen really soon. Certainly with Atlanta. You can kind of look at the politics of the different regions of the country. In the South is obviously leading, in the Southwest a little bit, but the South in particular is leading the country back out of COVID. And everybody said when Governor Greg Abbott of Texas made the decision to open his state 100%, oh my God, everything's going to fall apart. And instead, COVID cases have continued to plummet and continued to collapse since the state of Texas opened back up. In fact, I believe I took a picture of this because I was like, this is an important argument. And we got a lot of people who listen to this show all over the country. And I wanted to make sure that I hit it. I'll get to the Canelo fight in a moment in the state of Texas. But Greg Abbott tweeted, the largest indoor boxing event in U.S. history, Saturday night, AT&T Stadium, Arlington, Texas. Texas is open 100%. Hashtag boxing, hashtag Alvarez Saunders. That was from the governor of Texas, Greg Abbott. But also, he shared some COVID data, which I thought was pretty significant. And I tweeted this out for those of you who may not have paid attention to the data. And unfortunately, I know there are a lot of people not paying attention to the data. Since Texas opened 100% 2 months ago, that is today, Texas has now been open 2 months ago, 2 months today. COVID hospitalizations are the lowest in almost 11 months. There have been 5 consecutive days with fewer than 2,000 COVID cases in the entire state of Texas. The COVID positivity rate is below 5% for 6 straight days for the first time forever, according, this is Texas Governor Greg Abbott on Twitter, and fatalities are down more than 2/3. That's since Texas opened back up 100%. And in conjunction with that great Phillies Braves series, the Canelo Alvarez fight, which ending in a stoppage because of a broken orbital bone, was a really compelling fight. Completely full Dallas Cowboys Stadium. Over 70,000 people. I know some of you were watching it on DAZN, and it was pretty remarkable to see the Dallas Cowboys Stadium 100% full again. That's the biggest fight, I think, ever for a boxing match in the state of Texas, and also the biggest sporting event by far since COVID shut down everything back in March. Again, over 70,000 people were present for those events. And if you're watching the Braves game over the weekend on Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, or if you watched any of the Canelo fight and you saw the cameras rotating around in the crowd, almost no one's wearing masks in these venues either. So, my argument has been straightforward, transparent, and clear for a couple of months now, and I'm going to keep beating this drum until it becomes the case for everyone in every part of the country. Every sporting event needs to be open 100%. I think every sporting event outdoors and every sporting event indoors, and let people make the choice of whether or not they want to go to sporting events. If you don't want to go, that's fine. But we have over 50% of all adults that have now been vaccinated in this country. If you combine that with the number of people that already had COVID, the reason why the numbers are collapsing is that combination between natural immunity, people who already had COVID, and the over 50% of people who have already had their COVID shots, over 50% of adults, I should say. Children are still not eligible, but also not primary conduits of this virus. And then you also add in outdoors, and I didn't spend as much time watching golf over the weekend. Rory McIlroy got the win. Dub, you watched this a great deal in Quail Hollow in Charlotte. They had a monster crowd in the galleries, and it looked totally like normal. You were telling me off air, as a big time golf fan, it was hard. You were hard pressed to know that anything that the last year had even happened.
Yeah, that's exactly right. The scene on the 18th green as the final group was finishing up, it looked as close to normal as I've seen in the golfing world in the past year plus. So it was awesome to see.
Where'd you go, by the way? You were out on Thursday, Friday on the show. You've been traveling everywhere in the country. What part of the country were you in?
Yeah, I went on a little trip. It was a Christmas present. Me and my girlfriend kind of went 50-50 on it. Went down to the Scottsdale area for a little golf slash.
How did it feel in Arizona?
Oh, it was hot, but it was great. It was.
Does it feel pretty much open in Arizona,
yes,
in the Scottsdale area?
Every restaurant I went to was like just absolutely packed. It was awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was
so
fantastic.
I know that I think it's Doug Ducey, the governor of Arizona, has basically opened up the state of Arizona as well. And a lot of Californians for months have been fleeing to the Arizona area, Southern Californians in particular, to try to get back to some form of normalcy because the state of California has been so absolutely insane. But do you agree with me, Dub, that if you looked at what was going on in the state of North Carolina with golf, state of Georgia with the Atlanta Braves big series against the Phillies, and then the boxing match that was going on in Texas, I think those are probably the three biggest venues and events going on in terms of having monster crowds. I know they also had a big crowd, I believe, for NASCAR in Darlington as well. I should toss that in. I mean, it just felt like to me, it's kind of, and I know it's Mother's Day weekend, so there's a lot of people sitting around watching television, maybe a little bit more, family activities, family gatherings. It just felt to me like this was, and I know, to me, Memorial Day is going to be the official unveiling of very much for many people out there when it comes to the return of summer. And Memorial Day for a lot of people is that moment. I mean, my kids get out of school next week. So they will have finished an in-person school year. I've never been happier for the county in Tennessee that I live in. I live in Williamson County. For people who don't know that area, it's like Franklin, Tennessee, about 15 or 20 miles south of downtown Nashville is where I live. And my kids have been in school since August. Next week, they finish. They have had in-person school since early August of last year. And they are going to finish a 100% school year in person, zero issues. No major health concerns for everybody out there whose kids have remained remote for the entire year. Kind of a pretty clear sign that this was easy and possible to do if you had the wherewithal and the commitment to do it. I've never been prouder of the local school district and the local teachers and administrators who made this happen. But our school year is almost over. My kids have a half day next Friday. This is their last full week of school, and they completed on schedule 100% in-person school calendar. And my oldest, people in the South get out of school a little bit earlier. Some of you are like, this is crazy. I mean, we start in early August, and then we finish in mid to late May. So we finished an entire in-person school year. And I'm already, like, when I was watching this Braves series against the Phillies, I'm trying to figure out what trips we want to take down to Atlanta with my 10-year-old to go watch the Braves play in person. But I've never been happier for the ability to finish that off. But the reason why I raise that as an issue is people are starting summer vacations in my part of the country by around May the 21st. So I just think the wildness of this summer in America is going to be off the charts. And I think it's going to be almost impossible for any part of the country to not be fully open by Memorial Day. For all sports, for all outdoor activities, for sure. But the beaches, all the roads, I feel like are going to be jammed up with people who've been waiting to go on vacation and go do something fun. I feel like Memorial Day is going to be the official unveiling for one of the wildest summers that many of us will have ever seen. And I just think it's going to be a crazy party all the way through. And I know there's been some talk about the target of July 4th as being a big day. I think that's too late. I think Memorial Day, most people are going to be going wild in terms of their vacation plans. Are you buying into that? Just based on looking around at how packed restaurants are already, how packed bars are. I talked about this. I mean, I'll just go ahead and tell you. My hometown of Nashville is now basically 100% open. So you can go to any restaurant. You can walk around downtown Broadway. You can go watch live music. There is almost no masks in the vast majority of places. I went to the mall. I don't ever go to the mall. But one of my kids was at one of those jump houses over the weekend. And so I took my six-year-old, and I was there with my wife and my mother-in-law, and we went to the mall. I don't remember the last time I walked around in the mall, but almost no one indoors in the mall was worried at all about masks, right? Like, it's like the thing is over. Whatever concerns you might have, you can stay locked up in your basement, But I think the country as a whole is ready to be done with all this, and normalcy has returned. And I thought that sports with the Braves, with Quail Hollow, with the PGA, with Canelo, and also with Darlington, all of those different events going on, was a seismic sign of that return to normalcy. You buying into Memorial Day as being basically a liberation zone for most of the country?
Yeah, I totally buy that. Especially, you should have seen the Phoenix airport yesterday morning. Oh my God. Yeah. You want to talk about people
just
not really
jammed in there?
It was unbelievable. It was by far the most crowded space I've been in probably the past year. 100%.
Just security lines, like
it was everything. The ticket counter, security.
You've been flying. I make jokes about this on the show, but you've probably taken 15 or 20 flights in the last year.
Round trips, yeah. Probably there and back. Probably 15, like, individual flights, yeah.
Yeah, which is way more than the average person
well,
has.
I mean, the airfares this past year have been unbelievable because nobody, you know, at the beginning wanted to fly. I took my chances with where I'm at in life and my age and health and, you know, looking at the data that we've been talking about countless days over the past year. But I think those days are pretty much over with basically the half airfare generation, if you will.
Oh, well, I mean, they're starting to. I mean, they called back all the flight attendants. All the pilots are coming back. They're trying to figure out what the flight paths are going to be this summer. And that's what I was kind of hitting at was so many of the paths are being redirected to major sort of vacation destinations because the business travel probably is not going to come back. And I think that's one of the most fascinating long-range impacts of COVID. It may be that so many of these business trips are found to be mostly unnecessary because you can hop on a Zoom call and you can have many of the same impacts without having to spend whatever it is, 10 hours to travel for a one-hour meeting, which a lot of business executives have been doing for a long time. And they could theoretically have a higher quality of life than needing to be on the road for in-person meetings. I'm not saying in-person meetings are always going to be gone and be a relic of the past, but I do think that what COVID has done is accelerated the adoption of technology and also made people try experiments in their business that they never would have tried otherwise. And one of the big lasting impacts, I think, is going to be the lack of need for much business travel and how much more money can be saved there, and also offices. I think a lot of businesses are going to be like, you know what? We don't need as much office space as we used to have, and that those dollars are going to get reallocated. I would like to think that it's going to lead to a higher quality of life for your average person because they're not going to have to be on the road as much and spending as much time commuting as they may have been before, which can open up a lot more time with your family, a lot more time to pursue leisure interests, all those things without hurting the efficiency of your overall ability to do your job. So that's one of the questions. But one of the sort of telltale signs that I think is out there right now is the amount of interest in leisure travel. So all of these different airlines are readjusting and reformatting and reformulating their departure schedules to allow people to be able to travel to destinations for vacation because so many people have been so cooped up for so long. And that, to me, Phoenix and Scottsdale area is a big part of that. And you just witnessed it yourself. My family just came. We've been down to Florida quite a few times over the past year. But my family just came back from Orlando recently, absolutely jam-packed every flight. And I think that's just going to be a sign of the times in a big way.
Well, and I think another aspect that will accelerate this as well is just the fact that so many people can work from home, and which in theory means you can work from any quote-unquote home in the world. So
that's right.
You can take a trip, a vacation, you can fly out on a Tuesday instead of a Thursday, you know, work from home, work from your hotel, wherever it is, for a couple of days, basically while you're still on vacation.
I mean, I'm going to work a lot from Florida in the years ahead. I mean, just being honest with the jobs that I have, I'm fortunate that I can do some of them remotely, whether it's this radio show, whether it's the television show, certainly managing OutKick and being in charge of that editorially. I mean, we have workers in 10 different states right now with OutKick. And I don't believe we've ever had every employee at OutKick in one physical location for everybody to meet face-to-face. But partly that's because we expanded in a big way in the pandemic, but also just because it feels very inefficient to me to need to have everybody in one place for some sort of meeting when we could just have a Zoom call with everybody able to see each other there. and not need to bring everybody in when it's more difficult to be able for us to do our jobs. And that we're a small business in general, but I think there are a lot of businesses out there that are having similar decisions and similar conversations that in the wake of this COVID, as we get ready for just a sprint fully into this monster, massive, incredible, phenomenal environment that I think we're going to see this summer. When we come back, we are scheduled to talk with Barrett Salee. He is at CBS Sports. He was in those crowds in Atlanta for the series between the Phillies and the Braves. What did it feel like? And how quickly does he think that's going to come for other Major League Baseball stadiums? Plus, is there any doubt at this point anywhere that we're going to have 100% capacity for every single football game, high school, college, pro, without a shadow of a doubt by whenever they have the first preseason game? I think it's like August in Canton, Ohio, if I'm not mistaken. I don't think there's any doubt that we'll be at 100% capacity by then. I'd be stunned if we're not.
This is Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis.
We were just talking about how awesome so many different sporting events were going on over the weekend. The Phillies-Braves series, which was fantastic, especially the late-night Saturday game. You had the Canelo fight going on in Texas. Quail Hollow with a big crowd for the PGA. Darlington going on. It felt very much like a return to normalcy. And I was curious what it felt like to be in the Atlanta Braves crowd, particularly on that amazing Saturday night game, 100% fan attendance back in play. FS1 had the game on Saturday. Last night, ESPN with the game. And we bring in now Barrett Salee, who has a lot of takes in the world of college football, but we share an Atlanta Braves fandom. First of all, thanks for getting up early with us. What did it feel like in the stadium on Saturday, and what was the vibe to finally be back in a stadium with 100% capacity?
Well, all right, cool. So this is the fifth game that I've been to this year. I have season tickets, so I go to a lot of Braves games. It felt like a World Series game. I've been to probably, I would say upwards of 30, 35 playoff games, probably more than that. I've been a season ticket holder since I was, in the womb. But it felt like a playoff game. It was completely sold out. I think it was too shy of a sellout, but whatever. It was sold out. The fans were into it. The game Saturday, I mean, the best way I could describe it, especially late in the game and in extra innings, was like a Pac-12 after dark game. I mean, it was just wild. But I'm a lifelong Braves fan, and buddy I went with is a lifelong Braves fan. Like to a point that it might be a sickness. And we were sitting there after the sunset, and they shut down the lights, and the tomahawk chop happened with the cell phone lights, and it was just like it hit us like holy crap. This is way more than normal. This is friggin' awesome.
Yeah.
This is awesome. And again, that was the fifth game I've been to, and we went from 33% capacity to 50% the second home stand, and now 100%. And it felt normal, during those games, but to have a 100% sold out crowd with a game like that, it felt like a regular playoff championship, high intensity, experience. It felt like what being a fan is supposed to feel like. I mean, it was wild. It was so much fun.
For people who don't know, the Atlanta Braves baseball park is pretty fantastic, but there's also the Battery that surrounds it, all the restaurants, all the hotel, everything else there. If you had just been, let's say, a fan who was present in the stadium for that game on Saturday night, would you have really known that COVID had ever happened, or did it feel almost identical to what it felt like when you were in that stadium in years past?
Oh, it felt the exact same. You would have not known that it was a thing, like at all. And it's been like this since the beginning of the season, really, but you have to wear a mask when you go in, whatever.
Show them that you have a mask in order to enter the stadium.
Yeah,
when I watch the crowd reactions, nobody's wearing masks in the crowds.
It literally is, hey, you got to put a mask on, scan your ticket, and then immediately it comes off. It's not even like, and everybody knows it. Like the people working there know it. They're just like, whatever. The Braves have, and the Rangers too, they've taken on the mindset that people can be responsible for themselves, which I know is crazy in this day and age, Clay.
yeah,
that,
yeah.
that that personal responsibility is something that people are fully capable of instead of having other things dictated to them. If you don't want to go, don't go. If you're susceptible, don't go. If you do want to take the risk, go, fine. But nobody seemed to care, aside from a few minor things, sanitary things like water fountain not being operational, things like that. It felt 100% normal. And you know what's great about it? And I'm sure the people that are freaking out online and wherever about how we're putting everybody in danger and wait 2 weeks, Atlanta's going to crumble and all this other stuff. What hasn't been discussed is that there was a free vaccination for any fan that went. You could go to this area. It's almost like a meeting area inside the stadium for corporations and whatnot. You could go in there and get a vaccine during the game for free.
Oh, that's amazing. I didn't know that at all. So if you went to the game and if you wanted to, they were making it as easy as possible to get a vaccine so easily that you could get vaccinated at the stadium.
Yeah, 100%. And you know what? I'm not surprised that you didn't know about that, because I don't think that it was publicized here in Atlanta, but the national media, when they talked about Atlanta opening up the stadium for 100% capacity, it was never even mentioned. And Clay, honestly, I went over there to see, kind of what the vaccination line was like. In fact, our tickets are, kind of close to that little, corporate meeting area.
Yep.
And I asked the people, I was like, hey, how successful has this been? And they said, you know what? It's been fine. And people have been showing up. It got crowded at times, especially early in the game. But by the middle of the game, people that wanted to get vaccinated got vaccinated. They left. They had fun and enjoyed themselves, which, people are allowed to do that.
Did you think you would ever take for granted being able to sit in a baseball stadium or a sports arena or a sports park, no matter what it is, football stadium, whatever it is, and just have a beer? And how much better it must have felt in the midst of a huge crowd to be able to do so?
Oh, dude, honestly, I'm sure it's like this in other baseball stadiums that have started to open their doors more. It felt like a playoff game every game that I've been to, and I was at the game that we got no hit.
Yeah.
but still, it has felt like a playoff game, because the fans are not just kicking back and whatever, good day at the ballpark, just have a beer and kick back. It's have a beer, kick back, and cheer your team on to the best of your capability. It's almost like there's this renewed passion, that no one's taking this for granted. And by God, if we're not taking this for granted, we got to enjoy this. We got to enjoy it as friends, as families, and as fans. And I'm pretty sure, and it certainly seems like this watching Rangers games too, that the fans there have sort of taken on that same mindset of, man, it's great to be back, and let's take this and run with it and have as much fun as humanly possible in every way, shape, or form. And man, it's refreshing. It really is. And my voice on Monday morning is still hurting from Saturday night, because the passion is sort of an ancillary benefit that has sort of come back with full capacity, because you're right. People are not taking for granted, going to a sporting event anymore. It's a privilege.
When you heard, I was watching it, but when Pablo Sandoval hit that home run, it must have sounded like, it was absolute insanity. That's one of the first times I can remember watching a sporting event and seeing pure pandemonium among the crowd. And right, there's been a lot of discussion about what the impact of crowds would be after a year where basically they didn't really exist. To see that pure pandemonium in play was pretty extraordinary. It had to feel amazing too.
Yeah, it did. I've been at SEC games and national title games and major college football games, covering college football for CBS and for SiriusXM. And, it's awesome to have that kind of passion. Very few instances have I been around a stadium that not just shook. It's a lot of stadiums shake. They're built that way to withstand noise, whatever. It felt like an earthquake in terms of just waves of movement. Up and down. And it was unbelievable. It was unlike anything I've ever seen. And I don't know if you know the scene in Major League when all the people are at the bar hugging each other, and then the punk guy and the businesswoman look at each other and they're like, I'll give you a hug anyway. It was like that. It was high fives all around. It was people running up and hugging folks. It was Yeah, it was pandemonium. And look, that's what we live for, right? You know, it's one thing to have a great play, you know, like the Kyler Murray, the Hail Murray in the NFL last year. It's great to see that on TV. And you know, we all know the impact of stuff like that. We all know the impact of big-time players doing things in big spots and changing outcomes of games. But it you know, things like that in the NFL last year without fans or with limited fans, it felt stale, right? Like it felt just like, oh, whatever. It's like playing in a soundstage. And it's different when you're it's a different atmosphere when you're there. The players have, I think, fed off of it. And not just the Braves fans. I mean, the Philly fan, the Phillies feed off the Braves fans. It works both ways. You know, the Phillies are there. They're like, holy crap, it's full. Let's go, you know? And, yeah, I mean, it was fun. Anybody who has a chance, not just come to a Braves game, but come to a game that has the ability to have a pretty decent crowd, do it, because it will put the biggest smile on your face as a sports fan that you've had in a long time.
What about the Philly fans that were there? There were a decent amount of Philly fans, and I know some of those people probably live in the Atlanta area.
Yeah.
But you also got the sense that some of them are going to be taking weekend trips, and I'm sure that's going to happen for a lot of different Braves opponents now. It had to feel even better to them, because at least you live in Georgia, which is kind of a state that's opened up. If you're in a place that's restricted and you get to suddenly come there, take a mask off, sit and have a beer and watch a baseball game, you really do feel like you're in heaven, right?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, and it's funny because the Phillies and really the opposing fans for every game that I've been to at Truist Park this year, it's almost like there's this respect, right? You know, they're there, you're there, we're in this together, let's have some fun, let's root on our team, but let's not be jerks. We're all, you know, not taking this for granted, you know? And it's funny because, you know, the Omni Hotel is right there in the Battery overlooking Truist Park.
Yeah,
and my mom and dad actually rented out a room when the Braves weren't playing, just as kind of like a staycation thing. And they asked the people at the hotel, "Hey, what's it looking like for home games now? Because usually it's running $600-$800 a night. It's up to $1,200, and they cited exactly what you just said.
Yeah,
people from out of town, fans from out of town, are like, screw it. This might be the only time we get to see our team this year.
Yeah.
So we're going to go to Atlanta. We're going to stay there for a weekend, and we're going to go to the games because, you know, we don't know if we're going to see them at our location. So, yeah, I mean, it is almost like there's this newfound respect, like sort of like this nod, like, I'm not supposed to like you. You're a Philly fan. I'm a Braves fan. We're playing each other, but, you know, let's do a little fist pump. Let's enjoy ourselves. We're all in this together. Let's have some fun.
Barrett Salee, CBS Sports, can you come back in just a moment? Because I want to ask you about if there's any doubt in your mind that we're going to have 100% capacity all over the place for football based on what you've seen so far from Major League Baseball, just based on being in that crowd in the big series between the Phillies and the Braves. You good for that?
Yeah, man.
This is Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
In Atlanta for Braves games now. They are back to 100% capacity. Barrett Salee was there, CBS Sports. He usually covers college football for CBS. But Barrett, when you saw this situation, there are some people out there that are still saying, hey, what's going to happen for the NFL? What's going to happen for college football? I imagine you're pretty confident, as I am, that college football, at least in the South, and I would imagine in the ACC and the Big 12, it's going to be 100% capacity, and the same thing is going to be true for NFL games in the region, right? There's no way the Falcons aren't going to be at 100% when the Braves are at 100% in May.
I'd be floored if it's not 100% in any place that has passionate sports fans. You know, the Braves obviously did it. The Rangers did it. Every SEC school has either indicated that they plan to do it or will do it. And I think now you've sort of seen
lots of, by the way, college baseball teams in the SEC are already doing it too, which is kind of an early precursor to being back to 100% for football.
Yeah, Ole Miss, Mississippi State, they've had them. And then actually, I think on Sunday, Oklahoma State said all spring sports are at full capacity now too. So it's definitely opening up. So there's no doubt in my mind. In fact, Mercedes-Benz Stadium, which hosts the Falcons, they also have the Atlanta United. And that soccer team is going to have 100%. Now, for them, they box off the upper deck, but still, they're going to have full attendance for what they usually have starting in May also. So, yeah, I don't think there's any doubt. And I think for college football, I think it's really important because for a lot of these schools, especially in the SEC, but in other towns too, you know, college football is the lifeblood. You have to have college football. It's not just an event. It's a business that has to be not only booming, but booming consistently to support towns, to support schools, to support families, all that stuff. So that's not to say that that's going to drive the decisions, because obviously public health will. But this idea that, you know, oh, they're just doing it because they're football crazy. They don't care about health. No, I mean, you want to care about health, but you want to do it responsibly. But you also want to make sure that some of the, you know, secondary issues that could arise from lockdowns, and we've all seen what they are, and some people choose to ignore them. I don't, because they're very serious. You know, you got to make sure that stuff doesn't happen. You got to make sure people have jobs. You got to make sure people, you know, have their kids in school, all that stuff. So, yeah, there's no doubt that it's going to happen in the SEC. I think it's going to happen in really pretty much every part of the country. And here's the thing, too, Clay. 100% does not mean it's sold out. It just means it can be sold out.
That's right.
Don't go. Don't go if you don't want to. I mean, it's not that hard. And again, it gets back to something we talked about last segment. Here in Atlanta, personal responsibility is valued. And the officials have let individuals make decisions based on whatever they want to make them on. And it feels like, anyway, to me, that the more and more these stadiums open up, it's sort of driving the push and the wave of momentum, not just to have more stadiums open up, but to have everything open up, which to me is a good thing. And really, it goes along with something we've seen a lot. Sports drives conversation. Sports is a catalyst for change in a lot of different ways. And in this case, it's getting back to normal.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And also, I think for places across the country, the Texas Rangers have been open 100% now for a month, and they've seen no increases in COVID cases.
Yep.
The Braves are going to start, and I think you're going to see the same result from their games. What this does is demonstrate how easy it is and how everyone else should be, in my mind, following the lead. And you have to have some teams be willing to step out and take these chances in order to demonstrate that this can be done safely and that it's time to get back to normalcy, right? Everybody can't stay curled up in the fetal position, terrified forever.
No, and I think what the Braves have done, and I don't know if the Rangers are doing this either, but, you know, allowing 100% capacity, but also making it a COVID vaccination site.
Yeah, it's a cool idea.
Games, yeah. It's, you know, what's the harm in that? You know, you're doing everything you possibly can to get everything right. And I think everybody should do that.
Amen. He is Barrett Salee. We'll talk to him again soon. Enjoy the week, my man. Appreciate you getting up early with us.
Thanks, Clay. Anytime.
Go follow Barrett, by the way. I'll tweet out his Twitter handle here in a little bit when we share the show for the day. We've got a loaded program for you, by the way. Let me let you know where we're headed. Mike Coppinger from The Athletic was at the big fight with Canelo down in Dallas. Want to know what the vibe was in that stadium, Jerry's World, where the Dallas Cowboys play. And then Todd Furman will be with us in the third hour of the program, breaking down everything in the world of gambling and beyond, including crazy story out of the Kentucky Derby where Bob Baffert's horse is now potentially going to lose that championship of the Kentucky Derby. So much to unpack. We'll dive into all of it with you. This is Outkick. Appreciate you spending your Monday morning with us. When we come back, more on Aaron Rodgers. What'd you think? On Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick, the coverage with Clay Travis, weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.